Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? Humdiddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
You know it's real. You know it's official. It's Monday right here on the grid in the afternoon, the best hour of your day. Now officially underway. Why? Because it's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. And boy, do we have topics to get to. And Kevin, before I let you in, I'm taking a look right now at those Cincinnati Bengals and saying this. Oh, fade them, Kevin. Fade the boys. Fade the boys in Cincinnati today. How about that start?
Well, here's an interesting one, Donnie, and something I'm going to talk a little bit on tonight's game time decisions. Certainly get into plenty of Minnesota Vikings, Justin Jefferson, some CeeDee Lamb. But there are season-long props available on both T. Higgins and Jamar Chase.
Yes.
Would you consider auto-unders on the idea that they might just miss the game?
It's a tough one because we know – how can I explain this easily? You're not going to want to miss up on paychecks. Now, the reason I say this is, if I am Jamar Chase, I'll sit out the rest of my career at the dollars that I'm making right now. Because, again, he was first-round draft pick, top 10, he's getting paid, yes. But he's not getting paid. Do you see, probably, I don't even know what his contract is this year, Kevin. What are we looking at? $7-8 million, maybe? Maybe still under his rookie contract this year? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, so let's call it under $10 million. He'll never play again. So unders for him. T. Higgins is a little bit different to me. And I preface this by saying, Kevin, any other organization out there, these two guys would be signed. They would put up, you know, bitching and moaning and getting angry over the summer, and then eventually 2 weeks before camp, they'd get a big-time contract. I'm telling you, the Bengals are built so differently here that they will say, you're under contract, you will play. Now, granted, passing up $3-5 million over the past 8 weeks, let's just say, is what Chase would give up. Still a lot of money, but he's like, dude, I'll be here. I got 10 more years in this league. I'm going to break bank, and you're not going to get me for this money. T. Higgins, on the other hand, is going to be getting what? I don't know, $1.5 million, close to $2 million a game that he's going to play. Those are hard, even though you're angry, that's still hard to pass up at this point. But so if you're asking me for a long story short, or a short story here is, I definitely would say under on Jamar Chase, but I wouldn't mess with T. Higgins.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like T. Higgins lands somewhere else. The thing is, Donnie, if I told you, hey, T. Higgins is going to land somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, we're going over.
It's better for him, right? It's hard to imagine he lands, because he's not going to land somewhere that has a wide receiver better than Jamar Chase. I guess the
maybe New England. Let's just say New England.
So, you know what? Great example, Donnie. Yeah. Would you worry about the quarterback? I like Drake May, but it might be Brissett. You wouldn't worry about that?
Nope, wouldn't even worry about it, because you would get that guy in there, Kevin, making $25-plus million a year. Every single target is designed for that guy, and rightfully so. So I wouldn't worry about the quarterback situation at all. Like, even last year, it's like, hey, man, quarterback situation not so good in Minnesota. Like, Justin Jefferson still got 1,000 yards despite being injured. Like, really good wide receivers. As long as you have a guy that can throw the ball. And you know what you love about rookies, Kevin? Because you might say the same thing this year with Justin Jefferson and his new rookie quarterback. What's the rookie going to do? Man, this guy makes a lot of money. He's a dominant wideout. I'm just going to get him the football whenever he needs it. Like, that's what's going to happen for those type of guys. So T. Higgins leaves and goes to New England. Ooh, that's not a good spot. spot. You're going to have to score points. Like, no one, this isn't Bill Belichick's New England Patriots. Hey, man, let's design a game plan to run it 60 times and beat you 7-3. Look at the Miami. Miami's going to score. The Jets are going to score. Buffalo is going to score. You better score along with them. And if you're not, Kevin, what does that mean? I lived through it all 4 years in college. We were a bad football team. As a wideout, loved it. We threw all fourth quarter long because we barely had the lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know, the T. Higgins number, I think, Donnie, right now, 875.5.
Oh, yeah. He's got to get moved, though. Yeah.
Now, it's funny, Donnie, is he can get there even if he stays. It's the missed games that worries me, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I wouldn't run to that window.
But also the missed games, Kevin, and the fact that it's like my ankle's a little bit hurt. It's week 14. We're 500. You guys already screwed me this year. We might have agreed to already you're not going to tag me again next year. Do you know what I'm doing, Kevin? Yeah, you know what? I'm going to sit out them last 2 weeks, get my final couple million bucks, and be gone. But you pay that guy, like, again, $875, you pay that guy like he's a front-end wide receiver, send him to New England, he's a 1,000-yard wideout. In my sleep, he is.
Yeah, I agree. So that, but I don't know how much, like, they're not going to jump that number up to, you know, 1025.5, are they, if he gets signed? So
no, probably not.
Run to the window on that one. Jamar has like a 100-yard gap, depending on the book you look at. Some are 1,200.5, others 1,300.5. So that disparity is out there.
And even, and I know a lot of people listening, like, this has been my, you know, favorite topic of all, and we were live this morning on the early line, right in between, like, talking about some NBA action. I just wanted to, like, break in and be like, yes, I had to fire off another one of my T. Higgins tweets, because it's something that's, because we don't talk this way, at least I don't, say, you know what, man, CeeDee Lamb's going to be holding out. No, Jerry's going to pay CeeDee Lamb, because that's what's going to happen. Brandon Ayuk, remember Deebo Samuel's like, I'll never show up and blank checks aren't enough. Deebo showed up. They'll come to a really good agreement on Brandon Ayuk. Those high-level wide receivers out there get paid. But again, they're not Cincinnati, who does it completely different. You know, it used to always be, and it probably still is the same thing. Like, a lot of these owners, Kevin, like tech billionaires and more money they didn't know what to do with. The Brown family only has the Bengals. And you say, well, they make a lot of money in the NFL. Yes, they do. But they're also very shrewd and smart by going, why would I pay these two wide receivers when I have to pay either one of them and make the same amount of money? Do you see where I'm going? They're the only organization that thinks that way, as opposed to most teams are like, I want to put another ring on my finger because when I go in the room with these other rich guys, I want to point it right in their face. When Mike Brown's like, hey, I'm more than willing to come in last place in the NFL. But granted, they've been having some good seasons and have had some good seasons at making the playoffs. But I always question the ultimate goal in Cincinnati. Is it make sure we have enough money that we think we should be earning, or is it pushing the pedal to the metal? Because who else would do this, Kevin? What other organization would say, I got Joe Burrow and two dominant wideouts. Let me pay the quarterback and then just not pay these wideouts and get them angry and say, well, we'll just go in the draft and get second and third round picks to see if we can replicate two first rounders that we love, but you know what? They're just not worth it.
Yeah, I think why I feel so lost at times on this subject is it feels obvious what they should do. Trade Higgins, pay Chase.
Yes.
Yep. Move on. And the fact that they had the perfect opportunity to complete part one of that, which is trading T. Higgins at this year's NFL draft, and they did not. And, of course, obviously, having, you know, discussed this topic with you for so long, they probably are insane enough to think that, they're just going to show up. And maybe they will. Like, maybe they will, right? But that is, I think you are so correct that this team is really, hey, what's the problem? You got tagged. You're under contract. Why aren't you here?
Yes.
All right. Find him until he shows up. I mean, what's the worst he's going to happen? He's not going to show up? That's great for us. What a win.
Kevin, I was going down the rabbit hole a little bit. Like, you just type in, like, T. Higgins and go read back. And, again, you get the latest reports or, like, the most popular ones. There was one a couple weeks ago that the report was, like, the Bengals are willing to offer T. Higgins, like, a new contract. And it was so bad that there wasn't even, like, a counterpoint. And you know how that gets off in relations. Because, again, Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, who is the general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, came out at the end of the regular season. Kevin's like, this guy's the best wideout in the league. He's young. We love him. We're going to pay him whatever it takes. Yep. And you know what? Exactly what happened here. Mm-hmm. But you don't get those same type of vibes. Like, next year, throughout the entirety of the season, Kevin, you're going to have one wide receiver who's T. Higgins, who doesn't turn 26 till next offseason. Jamar Chase, I believe, is what? 24? And doesn't turn 25 till next offseason? Like, this should be a spot. Like, you dream of as an owner, going like, oh my God, I got a quarterback that can make the Hall of Fame and two wide receivers that I close my eyes and they're 1,000-yard wideouts. We're going to have so much fun, sell so many tickets, so much merchandise, and have so much fun. And the Bengals are like, yep, they're really good. We drafted them, and they're under contract, and we expect them to own up to that obligation and report on training camp on time when everybody is getting paid but them. Coming up next, more Hot Topics right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Five, 6 weeks away, Kevin. Five, 6 weeks away from NFL training camps. I mean, did the Super Bowl just end? Were we not just in Las Vegas doing the Super Bowl? It's the way it feels and just shows you how quick time actually moves forward. We're in the NBA Finals. We're in the Stanley Cup Finals. And, you know, next up is a week and a half. Those things will end. And then we start to look forward to football. And it's almost here. It's always crazy to see how quickly these seasons do move along. But we're excited for the NFL. Again, the big news, Justin Jefferson. 4 years, $140 million. But the big number is $110 million guaranteed. So once again, just to beat around the bush, that's the number that you want. Where you get injured, you're going to get $110 million. You don't have to worry about next year. You don't have to play on a one-year deal, tear up your knee, and be like, hey, who loves that in the NFL, Kevin? All right, well, he tore up his knee, made $20 million. Now he gets a look-see contract for 1 year, $4.5 million with $3 million in incentives, as opposed to saying, like, yeah, tore my knee out, stinks, but I looked at my bank account, still says, like, $89 million in it, so I think I'm going to be just fine.
Yeah, this is a situation where, again, you know, people are becoming more and more understanding of, you know, what the athlete's point of view is. And I think, Donnie, it does at some point beg the question, like, how long is this franchise tag going to stick around? I don't know. It's every time someone is on the tag, it's a huge story of how much they don't want to be on the tag, right? So, I don't know. That's kind of one angle of it all. I think the Cincinnati angle, you're right to talk about. But, look, there is a Minnesota angle, Donnie, and that's a team that's now got the highest-paid non-quarterback in football with the longest odds to win their division at plus 900. You know, this is a team that is not supposed to have a competitive season relative to the rest of their field. Now, their win total 7.5. It's juiced under, but this is still a team that on a week-to-week basis, you're going to expect to see catching points, and that's going to be despite Justin Jefferson being there. It's, I think, largely maybe some defense, but questions around that quarterback position.
By the way, help me out on this. I think I saw, because sometimes like in the morning, like we have a Fave the Public poll, which we ask, like, you know, who's going to win the game? Who's the better this or that? And it's a fun poll, and you get the people involved. But the way I find it is, of course, it's tweeted with my at sign on it. But before we go live for that segment, I bring it up on Twitter, and I put in Sports Grid. And usually, like, a tagline for Sports Grid will come up. That, obviously, what I'm looking for is there. But, like, below it, there might be a video or two, whether it's you, Gabe, me, whoever's up there. Whatever highlights from, like, you know, the past 2 hours pop up. Did I see 9.5 as a touchdown prop for Daniel Jones? Like, because, you know, now, like, I don't really, I only have, like, some like, you know, arrows that I'm ready to pull out of my, you know, little backpack here to use. Whereas, like, usually I'll just, like, oh, you know, okay, Gabe's bringing up a point, you're bringing up a point, you know, Ranieri's bringing up a point. It's like, I mean, something like that. But that caught me, like, off guard for a second when I said, hold on, before I bring up this poll that I'm looking for, is this actually true? Is Daniel Jones's touchdown passing prop under 10? And that is true.
That is 100% fact. I almost, when I saw it, Don, I said, I'm about to call him. I just want just because this is, it's funny, Donnie. I did a whole, I mean, honestly, it was probably about 10 minutes worth on Twitter now. You can find about a 4.5 minute clip of it. Yeah. And my point was, and I will never let this go, and Donnie knows it as well. People who said that Donnie and I were crazy, like Daniel Jones got a $48 million cap hit.
Yeah.
And his prop's 9.5. But DRS last year, and I don't remember, but you bet a Daniel 17. Jones number.
17. Okay. Yeah, 17 and a half, I think it was. Yes.
Which, by the way, of the current posted quarterbacks on BetMGM, because that's where the Daniel Jones number is.
Okay.
You know, some people were tweeting at the clip, Donnie, what book's this at? Hey, like, watch the clip, man. I said it like three times, all right? 17 and a half, Donnie, would be the lowest number of any posted quarterback.
Correct.
18 and a half, Bo Nix. 18 and a half, Bryce Young.
Yep.
The fact that they posted that 9.5 is such a slap in the face almost. It's someone in that book. I got to pay some respects there. I was like, you know what? Even if we end up paying these out, this is too good. This is hilarious that we can post this 9.5 number and people have to hesitate as to what the appropriate move is here. A bunch of people down are like, no, 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 play it under. He's getting injured. He's getting benched. Play it under.
Yeah, you know, because let me take a look here real quick. Because honestly, it's Daniel Jones, who's making so much money. Drew Lock, who they probably want to get a look at. But, I mean, how many more looks do we need on Drew Lock throughout the
NFL?
For
what? Yeah.
Exactly. Correct. Agreed. So, that, like, it's not like, because, and I understand that, because someone's like, why pay Daniel Jones? Get a look at Drew Lock. For what? So you can lose more games and you cut him at the end of the year. Like, what are we looking for here? Tommy DeVito. He's a guy that you can just keep as the third round, or third, you know, quarterback on your roster. He showed that if he gets into a game, he's not just going to be embarrassing and can take the snap and run your offense. That's fine. I don't have any issue with that. Nathan Rourke, Ohio Bobcat fame, as your fourth quarterback. Obviously, I'm going to keep three. One's going to be on the practice squad. That's the way it is. So when I look at that, I say to myself, and I understand now how, you know, John Mara, the owner of the Giants, works. There's something about owners that go, let me tell you something here, Brian Daboll. This guy's going to get 10 full games in here if he's healthy because I'm paying him X amount of dollars. And I understand you might like Drew Lock and want to get a look at him, but Drew Lock's making, like, I don't know, $2 million a year. Make this Daniel Jones thing work so we can cut out, like, the embarrassment. Which then goes back to, okay, if he does play, Kevin, 13 games, like, yeah, no, didn't even come close to 10 touchdown passes. In this league we play in, it doesn't even make sense.
It does appear Daniel Jones has the Russell Wilson contract of if you get hurt, we have to pay you next year. So a lot of people think that Daniel Jones will be benched no matter what happens. Like, he could be having a good year, Donnie, and they're going to be like,
wait, again,
no more risking, Kevin, that injury.
Why is he on the team then? Let's just say you're right about this, and there's internal discussions. Like Russell Wilson, like last year, like, hey, you know what? You're actually playing decent football, but I don't like you. Like, this is Sean Payton talking, but I don't like you one bit. And if you hurt your ankle, I got to pay you again next year. I can't live with myself. Mm-hmm. So you either change this or you're going to the bench, which is a ridiculous way to run a football team, but that's the way coaches think. Like, there's no way in the world, like, Daniel Jones was such a mistake. We're going to let him play, and he tears his Achilles week 14 on his 11 touchdowns. Down to the Giants are in last place, and they go, oh no, that's $38 million guaranteed next year we have to pay him. Why would you even keep him? Like, the Giants are going nowhere, Kevin. Why keep him? That's the question.
Play him a game. I wouldn't play him a
single game. No, wouldn't play a single
game. That's the worry.
I mean, I don't know what's going on in the background, but we're loving life. There we go. It's beautiful. We got music. Daniel Jones music, people. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Monday afternoon. New week, new money. Kevin over the weekend. I got my head bashed in on Friday and Saturday with RBI props. Just didn't work out great. Lost money. Was angry. Okay. And it wasn't even so much for, like, oh, they were just bad handicaps. Like, I'm out, like, out in the bath driving around. I'm just seeing, like, you know, Ketel Marte.
Mm-hmm.
Runner on third. Nobody out. Strike out. It's like, come on now. Now, I did bet him the next day because it made some sense. What do you do, Kevin? Leads off with an absolute blast. Ends up, I think, with two home runs. Now, here's what I did yesterday, which is interesting. And I'm trying a couple different strategies. Because even on Twitter, like, hey, man, you didn't post any RBI props. So, you know, I got you. But let me work some things through. So here's what I did yesterday, Kevin. I had 17 props I liked. So I bet 17 times on one RBI, 17 times on two RBI, and 17 times just to get a base hit. But I didn't use them in any way, shape, or form in round robins. I just wanted to let it like play out just to see what was going to happen. So it's $360, which again, sometimes is a lot less than what I usually put out on a day-to-day basis. But again, I'm not just betting like, hey, man, put $1,000 on a parlay and see if it hits. Like, no, I'm doing stuff that, like, worst case scenario, you're not going to get browbeaten, but you might not make $5,000. So I laid 360 out yesterday. I actually returned just short of $500. Like, ooh, that was fun. I went 15-2 straight up with just for players to get a base hit. Now you say like, ooh, that's good. And it really is good, to be honest. But
yeah,
it'll pay all that well. You know what I mean? It's like -240 is like the highest number. Minus like 130 is the lowest number. But I'm 15-2. But also, they're only $10 straight bets across those 17. Now I profited, I think, like $69 or something, which is fine. Like, you'll take that every time on $10 bets on something that you should hit. But I also did one RBI and I went 7-10 on those 17 guys, which is good. But guess what, Kevin? I went 5-17 on two RBI, which that rockets it right up the list. That's, you know, plus 450, plus 650. The highest thing was like plus 850 on one guy that I had, which was great. But again, I only bet them just to see $5 17 times, $5 17 times, and then $10 17 times. So it was 360, and I made a profit, which is why, you know, I was on Twitter like, man, I wish I would have bet more, but I was just trying to work over a formula. So today, I'm back in the works with the same thing. But again, if that 15-2 I had yesterday, if I would have did a round robin of three or four, that would have been a nice payday because that would have pinged all over the place. But again, I was just trying something out. Because, and the reason being is like, why would you get away from just RBI or one and a halves? Because I wanted to say to myself, if I'm lining these guys up, Kevin, and I like them to get an RBI, it's because they're so far and away such a good matchup against that said pitcher. Like, I was just like, let me just see. Because a lot of times, Kevin, the $10 paid me back like $14 on the 10. Like, no, not a $14 win, $4 winning on 10. But it's a lot easier to swallow when it's $10 as opposed to $100 winning like 40 back. But it was 15-2 on those, made money. But then I love the fact, it's like, you know, let me just ramp up the RBI. And my phone was pinging, man, and I was really enjoying that. So I'm sort of doing the same thing today, but I did the hit prop today, which I have, I think, maybe 12 guys or so. I did them round robin times four, which means you need fours in clumps for them to ping off each other. So I was just figuring, saying, if I have a pretty good matchup, that why just do it at twos or threes? You're probably going to get at least five out of those 12 getting base hits, at least, right? And that's a bad night, and they ping off each other. So I'm trying that, and then also I did a round robin today with one RBI and two, not separately, Kevin, in the same round robin. I want to see how that goes today. So I'm sort of working out some theories before we get, you know, too late into the season. It's like, oh, no, maybe I'll try it again next year.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea to test drive some of this stuff. And I think the hits one is very interesting. I'd love to know how many of the 15 guys hit home runs. I don't know. I
a couple. Take... Well, Ketel Marte had two home runs yesterday. Who else? Yeah, there's a couple guys with home runs I had. Yeah. It's a couple guys with home runs, which, again, I was looking from, like, the day before. And, again, this is never fails. I did the round robin just for, like, RBI. But I was like, you know what? Let me do a, like, one. Like, it was $100, Kevin, to win $10,000, which was my it was a round robin, which was times three, and then also put an extra 25 for it to be $100 for the parlay itself. And it was $10,000. Now, neither one of those guys hit. But I had Bregman, Kevin. I think he wound up, I want to say he had at least one double in that game, but multiple hits, no RBI. My favorite batter in the entire day was Vierling of Detroit. And he doesn't usually lead off, Kevin. He led off. So I'm like, all right, that's not that bad. So I check my phone, and I see a guy on second base and nobody. I'm like, I might be able to get a two-run home run right here, Kevin, and knock this out of the park. Only to realize it was Vierling that led off with the double. Kevin, he had two doubles and I believe an extra, another base hit. No RBI for him. Bregman, multiple chances for an RBI, nothing. Flip it over to the very next day. Bregman leads off with a two-run shot, and away you go. Always the way it happens, but that's why those round robins sometimes are hard to hit. We'll be right back. More Hot Topics next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Where are you at, Jason Dominguez? We're calling on you right now.
Jason Dominguez, where are you?
That's right. You know where he's at, Kevin? He's still in the minor leagues right now at this point. Those are the type of players. You never give those players up for MVPs like Juan Soto, who is ripping off the cover of the baseball, protecting Aaron Judge at the same time. Each one of those feeding off each other because you can't pitch around either one of them because they're going to do damage. And look what the Yankees are doing. Out of training camp, like, oh, you know, or spring training, excuse me. Wonder what the Yankees will be this year. Yankees, by far, one of the best teams in baseball and certainly are going to get better once Gerrit Cole gets back in the door. So it's almost like the Daniel Jones stuff. Taking that, he said, what do you mean you're taking a victory lap on Soto? The amount of people that just don't understand the optics, and sometimes, Kevin, it dates back to the NFL. Let's go back to this moment maybe 2 years ago. You can't, I mean, Panthers won that trade so big, man. You never give up anything for a running back. Oh, how'd that work out for you? Getting bona fide, absolute MVP superstar players, or would you flip a coin with a prospect coming up? The Yankees, even without assurances, Kevin, that they'll even have Soto the following year, go, you know what? He's going to be awesome next year and probably way better than anything, again, Clint Frazier or Jason Dominguez will ever give us in 15 years. So the fact of the matter is, it's almost like you're proven right. Michael King, you can't give that guy up. Let me tell you right now, people out there, you put a poster up with 10 random pitchers in Major League Baseball and one of them is Michael King, they don't know who that guy is.
No, I mean, it's, again, we've been saying this for a long time. I think here's the other thing, though. Right? It's like, oh, man, Yankees probably have no prospects left. Like, oh, no. Like, apparently the best one of the bunch, Donnie, is this kid Dominguez, and he's still down there, right? So yeah. It's like, just take it easy. Like, it's all good. I will tell you this. There are times I see Yankee fans. Soto tweets, Donnie. Lifetime contract. Pinstripes forever. How do they not pay these guys? And I get mad. Where were you, people? When you were telling me it was time to clear the books, where were you people when you said we couldn't possibly move on from Miguel Andujar, who, by the way, has recently popped back up in Major League Baseball?
Oh, yes, he has, by the way.
And he's like ripping the cover off.
He is. That's funny you brought up that name because every time I'm checking, I want to say it's, is it the Athletics?
Yes.
Yes. So it's because I like following that team because there's a couple guys that are like hidden gems on that team. And every time, like, oh, they're scoring runs. Man, Andujar got it again. Like, I'm waiting on Soderstrom. I'm waiting on, you know, Zach Geloff. I'm waiting on Rooker. Like, you know, what is this guy doing in here? He's doing damage. But yeah, it's funny. Point. Go on with your story. But the Andujar thing caught a chord with me right there.
But it's one, no, I mean, none of that, like, these people that. Man, we used to have conversations. I remember, like, hey, would you give up, you know, Miguel Andujar basically for Jacob DeGrom? And they'd be like, no way. Like, this kid's going to own.
No, who was it? No, who was that back in the day? It was Glaber?
Clint Frazier?
I think it was Glaber. Glaber Torres straight up for DeGrom. Now, granted, DeGrom's injured right now, but DeGrom was the best player in baseball, pitching-wise, for those 3 years. Like, I don't know if we'll do that. They might have to throw in a sweetener over there on the Mets. And I was like, man, these Yankee fans are unbelievable at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see Soto there, but I think this is one of those things now. It's like you can't even be comfortable in this process because he's a Boris guy. Boris likes to mess around. And
he does.
It's possible the Mets come over the top and beat out the Yankees. And this, again, this foolish fan base will be like, ah, it's all right. What do you want to do? Mets overpaying
can't him. Can't pay him
that
much.
We have Dominguez. That's what'll happen.
Gonna,
like they'll defend.
It's gonna ruin our futures here. By the way, and you bring up the Mets here. There's two ways you can think this. The Mets are so bad where their owner Steve Cohen goes, I'm not spending crazy dumb money on a guy in his prime, but by the time we're good, he'll be out of his prime. Or he can be like, I'm so embarrassed right now, I'm going to go back to doing what I did 3 years ago. Let me pay for every single free agent I can just to get back into the good graces of my fan base. So it's an interesting dynamic where you say, like, Soto's going to say, why would Soto go there? Obviously for the money. Number two is, do the Mets actually want to pay any money because of how bad they are now? Like, also, like, Pete Alonso, what is his deal going to be? Like, is he like, oh, Mr. Met, you can't lose that guy? It's like, well, why? We stink with him. What, are we going to pay him like $350 million, $400 million and stink with him again? It's really odd.
I want to, I have no idea what this team is actually going to do because Cohen came in and was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to change baseball. I'm going to pay everyone millions. And he was a year yes. and a half in and was like, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm broke, basically. So trade them all. We stink now. And
GameStop,
he might just trade. it was just not good. It was not good at all. Can I just tell you this, too, just because I know how mm-hmm. much you'll appreciate it, Donnie? But
yeah.
Because you brought the Daniel Jones thing. Yep. Like, look, we're getting, you know, there's a lot of people kind of interacting with the tweet. And yeah. all the interactions are incredible. I mean, truly. Because, Donnie, the reason why I talk so much about it, it's a starting quarterback's prop at 9.5. Tommy DeVito threw 8 touchdowns in 9 yes. games last season.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Like,
You'll notice in that clip, at no point do I say give me over or give me under, because I don't know what I would really do with that number. Honestly, DRS, I'd probably bet the over if I had to make a move right this moment. I mean, it's incredible. But there are people here just like, nah, we're in hell. Like, this is our starting quarterback. You know, some people are writing, I'm pounding over. Some people are writing, I got to slam under. Some people yep. are sending me videos of the Eagles losing in the Super Bowl, which isn't very nice. But all right, at least, you know, you got to get your takes off. But, man, it's... I can't get over it. I really can't.
It's great because the cord hurts. Like the core Giants fan, it's like, you know what? He's our guy. We got to defend him. But deep down, we shouldn't be here, because the whole thing could have been rectified. And even if you don't love like J.J. McCarthy, if you draft him, you can be like, you know what? It's a new era now for the Giants. Like, we made a mistake at quarterback. We all thought it was going to be a mistake, except for our general manager. But now it's time, like, you know what? Let the young kid play. Let's see what we have. Like, if you're, like, fandom almost, Kevin, like, we are Eagles fans. Coming into next year, the excitement is back. They had such a good season last year up till they folded. It's like, oh, my God. This has all the rankings of coach is going to get fired, implode the team. It just didn't work out. And they have one offseason. We're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to pay our wide receivers, keep them happy. We're going to have a ridiculous draft. We're going to bring in a couple guys via free agency. We're going to get after it. So Eagle fans are like, oh, you know what? I'll buy back in this year. It's going to be fun. Washington basically bought a brand new football team with their ownership group and got a young quarterback. They're really excited. Who knows what we get out of the Dallas Cowboys, but you can just flip the coin and say, Dallas is probably going to be a playoff team right off the bat, so you can look for, like, what do Giants fans have to look forward to? Like, Daniel Jones with a knee brace on a bad football team in week 2? Like, that hurts as a fan. Like, when football, when you have zero shot, and you're actually thinking your organization wants to win, as opposed to just tanking, I feel bad for, like, I can see why they're getting angry in the tweets here at this point. Like, if I was a Giants fan, it's June, you're like, can we just get to next June, just to see who we got in the draft, and who our quarterback's going to be?
I mean, again, the tweet, Don, has 39 bookmarks. I imagine it's 39 Giants fans who are going to want to come back to this and say, see?
I've never used a bookmark, by the way.
When he has his 10th touchdown in week 14. Look, I mean, the situation is totally crazy, DRS. But again, I almost... Not everybody knows we were right about that whole thing. They knew that right away. Forget that nonsense. Donnie, a starting quarterback at 9.5. I can't even wrap. Like, is there a world that Drew Lock beats this guy out? Like, is that really where we are? How early is it possible that Drew Lock is starting football games over Daniel Jones?
And also, the best part about it too is it's not like it's like, okay, we re-signed Saquon, we drafted an offensive lineman, so we didn't improve our wide receiving core, which is shaky at best at this point. But hopefully, some of these young guys grow. Like, you went out and took maybe the most dynamic wide receiver in the draft. Like, when it's all said and done. And it's like, okay, we're going to be losing football games because we're bad. 10 touchdowns. Let's just say, Kevin, he's healthy by week 3. He's going to get 14 games to throw 10 touchdowns. Like, and again, me last year, stink. I go, wait a second, let me do this math here. He's got to average one touchdown pass a game on a bad football team. Who can't do that? You know who can't do it? Daniel Jones. Yeesh. Amazing, Giants fans. Nothing to look forward to next year. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, good baseball card tonight coming up. A lot of interesting shots here. Weather starting to warm up, just the way it is. But by the way, I wanted to touch on this. I know we don't talk much hockey, but the Stanley Cup, who again, shout out the NHL for having an unbelievable Eastern Conference and Western Conference, and then taking an entire week off and not going to play till Saturday night. These leagues, man, I'll tell you.
You see what I mean? That was going.
I mean, you've got to. You have got to be kidding me. Like, even in the NBA, we're going to get a good NBA Finals, I believe. Who knows how long it'll be? Let's just say who knows who wins it. But the fact of the matter is, momentum is everything. You know what would be different, Kevin, too? Like, we were talking to WNBA this morning, and, you know, there are hot topics because Caitlin Clark, you know, foul on Saturday, blasted again on Sunday. It is what it is. But the reason why they captivated that is we were all watching down the stretch in college, women's college basketball. Before you could blink your eye, they're already in training camp for the WNBA and away they go into the season. You have that carryover effect. Now, I know it's sometimes pre-planned, but it's never like, oh, you know, it's like, outside of the Super Bowl, which just needs 2 weeks for the bigness of it. The hype you don't actually need, but just getting everybody in town, setting up the field for the Super Bowl. It's a whole monster undertaking and all the entertainment that goes around it. 2 weeks is needed. The NBA taking off 9 days before they get started is hilarious because you do lose momentum. Now, will we watch? Yes. But the anticipation, which is usually the big part, same thing in hockey, who needs all the help it can get and is saying, you know what, we actually have a really good final. But I got to tell you, like I was going off this rant this morning, the TV executives go, we could have New York and Dallas. We ended up with Edmonton and Sunrise, Florida. Like for me, who, again, renewed hockey fan despite my Flyers stinking, I think the series is awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun to bet. It's a lot of players I know. But outside of if you're not a bettor or really care about hockey, I don't know what those ratings are going to be. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, but I think it's tough because Edmonton has McDavid. So, I listen, I can only give you like an NBA comparison, right?
Yeah.
But see, it's a little tough because of where some of the best guys are. Basically, Donnie, there's a lot of people who would have you believe that the Knicks ran New York even when Durant was on the Nets. Like, that's not really true. The Nets were the one who got national TV games every time. Yeah. The Knicks had a louder fan base when the Nets played the Knicks, but like... You know what I'm saying? My point is, Donnie, Edmonton versus Dallas. I feel like, I don't, for me, I'm more interested in Edmonton being there. So,
I love Edmonton being there.
I think that does pretty well. Also, Donnie, you bring in Canada, no? I mean, I don't know how much that applies here. Right? Maybe not at all. But
that's what I mean. I'm just talking about like the U.S. ratings, not global like ratings overall. Just because really that's what the you know networks really care about. But you're right about that. But also you could say the same thing about Canada's watching the NHL anyway in the Stanley Cup Finals. Canadian team or not. There's still Canadian players all over the place. They love hockey. Yeah. They'll watch it anyway. It's like, hey, you know, a football team, if there was one in Toronto, like, Toronto team in the NFL in the Super Bowl, I'm not watching in the U.S. Yeah, we're all going to watch. And we're all going to enjoy it.
What I think's weird, and see, I can't. It's we haven't had basketball now for like for so long. The gap, Donnie, for the NBA, we all know, is the sweeps, or you know, five games ultimately in the West.
Yeah,
we went pretty far in both of these conferences.
Six and six.
Yeah. So today would have been game seven. Tomorrow would have been game seven. They would have given them off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So they would have had 3 days off as a league. If they all went seven, you could argue that's extreme. You could argue it. Like, they should maybe be playing Friday instead of Saturday. I could see that. But they want a weekend day, right? That's what it has to be, Donnie. They want a weekend day. Because they're not going to go Friday, Sunday. They don't run up against the NBA. They never do.
Yeah. By the way, also the schedule we were bringing up this morning with JY was like, you know, what's the WNBA do? Rams things in this weekend, but then wants to go toe-to-toe with the NBA Finals next weekend. I mean, what? I don't know, man. Sometimes we don't understand the league, which I think we've argued. Like, if you just played, like, I don't know, Wednesday and everybody could watch, same thing like football. Like, hey, USFL, put it on a Wednesday night. People would actually get to tune in. And by the way, I'm glad I stumbled on that. Help me out here, because I'm not even being facetious at this point.
I can't.
Are we still playing USFL football?
No,
I'm telling Kevin, it's not even a bit. I'm telling you, it's not.
Same.
It doesn't come across Twitter, and I follow every account.
No, let me tell you, people. Let me tell you this. Donnie, usually when it comes to these things, right? There's a part of me that's like, okay, he's overdoing it, man. Like, just let the USFL people live, right? Just let the XFL people live. And I will sometimes come to bat. This is not a bit. He's never been more correct. I have seen tweets being like about playoffs,
Yes.
What are you talking about playoffs? When were these seasons? Who are playing in these games?
Yes.
I can't even tell. And look, let's be. When Gabe tweeted out these picks, I thought these were CFL picks. I don't even know anymore. Is he giving out USFL or CFL? What's the story here?
You know, it's funny too, because even this morning there was because it's a downtime in sports because we're ramping up for the finals and it's sort of that like lull before football season. Yes, we're talking baseball and the WNBA. I understand that, but we're waiting on some things to happen. They actually did like a whole 10-minute segment on the beer snake at the Washington Command. What is their football? I don't even know their football team's official name, but whatever stadium it is, they all drink a ton of beer and stack that beer snake up from like row one to like row 30, and that's what they do. And it sort of gave me a laugh at that point because I'm like, you know what? I don't even, are they still playing? Like, what is going on at this point? But it gets back to my original thing, which I've said for years. I don't know how it happened, but hear me out, Kevin. The USFL will fail. I don't know if it'll come back for year number two, but I do know this. Some billionaire in a year and a half is going to pick that thing back up and say, man, this football means something. We're going to play in the spring. Well, I think you hit it right. You don't want to go toe-to-toe with the NFL, which means like the USFL back in the day in the early 80s when I actually had a decent league goes, we'll play like in the fall and we'll play on Sundays. Like, good luck with that. Out of business immediately. Like, you need to just somehow say, people like football in football season, put it on in football season where it doesn't mesh with college football and or the NFL, you might get people to watch it like, oh, it's football on. Let me see what I can do. But yeah, the fact of the matter is where, and I also, this came in with like a year and a half of hype and combining two leagues together where it's supposed to be better. I think the coverage is less than what we had on the previous two leagues that failed immediately.
I couldn't agree more. Like, they're finally going to get through a year, and I think Gabe is the only person alive that knows how to find this stuff. I just pulled it up. UFL champion, Donnie. There's a futures market.
Yes.
But there's also CFL. I don't really know. Is he betting Argonauts? I mean, what's the story?
Does it play weekends, weekdays? I don't know, but can't say I told you so. It's a league that bad football we don't like. That league is bad football. We'll be right back. Jay Jetta's out here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One thing we didn't get to talk about here, Kevin, maybe because I think it might be hit Friday, Darren Waller's music video, and now he's going to retire. Is he going to be in the music business now? Like, why is he stepping away from like $10 million?
I'm confused. Did he officially retire, or is that what's likely going to happen? I'm not sure.
It looks like he has. I mean, I'm gonna paraphrase. Probably not working out much. Writing is on the wall. Hasn't shown up. Because I remember, there wasn't a report like 3 weeks ago, like the Giants were like, we don't know where he's at. And I'm like, oh, this is going to get really good now. Like, he's like, the general manager is calling you. Hey, we expect you for OTAs. Yeah, I'm not even going to talk to this guy for a couple more weeks at this point. I don't think he comes back to the NFL, which is odd because he's still technically in his prime. We think he's a great football player. Not necessarily, but anytime you're big, strong, and fast, even if you're injury prone, the NFL is going to love you there. And he's walking away not from like $1.5 million. It's a pretty good sum. So that's an interesting one. But all intents and purposes, from the stuff coming out this morning, he will retire sooner than later, which probably means in the next week.
But, and he's retiring to focus on music?
Well, that's, I don't know, but you're putting out music videos. Seems like he thinks he's going to be like in the music business, which was basically just, I only saw like, I don't know, half of that clip, and it was sounded like, you know, just a guy like talking through auto-tune, and I was like, this is good. And every comment below was like, you know what I mean, just hammering this guy at this point, so. Tough scene.
It's bizarre. I didn't see a single positive comment on the rap.
And it was a diss to Kelsey Plum, though? Like, what was the point? Like, I wasn't listening to the words. I was just, like, listening to, like, you know, the tone of it, which was kind of funny. It really sounded like a Post Malone, which most people were commenting on. Like, that same auto-tune he just took and was like, you know, like, I'm going about my life. I was like, well, all right. I don't know where this is going. And the best part is, like, he had, like, a love interest in the movie, which was, or the music video was, I'm going to get back at, like, you know, Kelsey Plum. I don't know where it was going, but it wasn't well-received, and then he's going to retire. It's like tough scene out here for the kid.
Yeah, tough scene, no doubt. It's not great in Giants land. Theme of the show today. Theme of the show.
No, not good here at this point.
The Eagles quarterback's rushing touchdown number is higher.
What is it?
Than their passing.
What do we got?
I'm saying, I don't know. Jalen
Saquon.
Hurts, I'm saying.
By the way, what's Saquon's higher number for the Birds? Some low. So I saw something low, like 6.5 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me, right?
Jalen's going to run them all in.
No, that's done. Figure. Like, no. See, unless Jalen's like, look, this is my job here, which again, it is unstoppable, but sometimes you like to feed the beast. It's like the running back that
we
were supposed to get a kick at, like in high school. Like the fullback would do all this damage up and down the field to get to the one, hand it off to the tailback, and it's like, come on, man, I just had 4 carries for 48 yards. This guy carries one time at the one and catches it in. I do think that those one-yard plunges, and you know how the Eagles will start to play it off as Kevin? Not because Jason Kelce retires, we can't do it again, but boy, our quarterback makes a lot of money and our running back can do the same thing, so we'll let him do it. It's almost like that even handoff, too. It's like, oh, yeah, it makes some sense, even though it doesn't when it's unstoppable the way it's done.
Yeah, the Saquon number, Donnie, is 6.5 minus 130.
Yes, I mean we're all in on that. That's got it. Can I round? I guess you can. Can you round robin? Can you round robin futures?
Season long. Can you?
FanDuel probably block you out on that. I got to try that for Bet365 because you know me. Like beginning of the year, I like to pick out five like different things and get after it. And shout out to FanDuel when they do my favorite thing at the beginning of the year is, hey, you know what? Bet a couple $100 on your Super Bowl team. That's who you think is going to win. Every time they win, 20, 30 bucks back in your pocket. Pick a team that wins 10 games. You're already profitable. Plus, that team's probably going to be in the playoffs. You get a nice run at it. Kevin, they gave me $10 on that bet this year. I'm going to lose it. It was 200 years ago. It was 100 last year. And it's going to be 10 this year.
last year was disrespect. You were getting like 100 back a win, and I was getting back 5. And I was like, now someone needs to explain themselves. What did I do here? And then they just completely flipped the script on you, and they were like, you know what? Maybe we should stop giving this guy all these bonuses.
We're probably going to save me money because it's hard for me because I haven't had a great, obviously, NBA run. But they gave me like $100 to do the 50. And back in the day, like they were giving 50s out. Like even their stingy on FanDuel with that now. It's usually like 25 or 30s. Like the 50s just hook you in because, again, you know, oh, you can't do it. But as an analytics guy, getting 50% boosted on a wager, it's like you have to take it. Like you have to take a run at it because when you click that button, which ups it 50%, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm in. And I'm going to miss that for football on FanDuel. But hopefully Bet365 keeps bringing that heat. Just like we did today on a Monday. Setting the table for this week. NBA action will be back Thursday. Don't you worry, we'll get you covered. JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. See you tomorrow on another edition of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.